Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. And what do you say at this point? I mean, I could say I'm Peter Edmiston. I've been covering the team for a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. It's been, you know, I've covered the team for Sports 56, for the commercial appeal, seen playoff games, seen lots of highs, but I don't think that I've ever seen a low quite like the one that the Grizzlies are going through right now, top to bottom. This is as embarrassing as it gets. And you run out of adjectives, honestly. The Grizzlies lose to the Heat 107-85 in, frankly, I would use the word desultory fashion. It was like an insult to the fans, the effort level in the fourth quarter, totally and completely unacceptable. Miami Heat, I mean, they were in control of the game. They gained control in the third quarter, as per usual with the Grizzlies, and then in the fourth completely took over. They shot 11 of 14 from the field in the fourth quarter, 8 of 9 from 3. I mean, again, like when you don't even attempt to defend, it's very easy to score in the NBA. And the Grizzlies didn't even attempt to defend, didn't even try. Yeah, that's the part that's the most embarrassing and the most ridiculous. It's one thing if you lose 15 of 16, but you're trying and you've got a roster that, you know, is theoretically certainly better than this. But my God, like just, you know, the effort has got to be better than that. That was a slap in the face to the paying public. You pay money to watch that. That's, I mean, if those the organization, it's one of those things that you should get like some kind of voucher money back. If you were there at the end of that game, you sat through that entire game, you should get a ticket to a future game, hopefully, because the effort, that was completely unacceptable. I don't even, you know, going through individual stats and all that stuff is kind of useless in a game like this, because this has really become a referendum on the entire season and on where this team is going. Yeah, I talked about it on the podcast yesterday. I think it's time to blow it up. A night like, you know, last night just serves to emphasize that point even more. This team is doing nothing. They're going nowhere. There's nothing happening. If anything, they're going down, and they don't even have to tank because they're tanking right now just fine without even trying to tank. They are tanking. They couldn't play any worse. They couldn't be any more inept right now. It's sad that it's gotten to this point. And here's the one thing I can tell you. This is only vindicating David Fizdale. And it's only pointing the finger and shining a light on how foolish the organization was for getting rid of Fizdale when they did. There was no reason for it. There was no reason to do it. The nonsense that was trotted out there about trends and all this stuff, well, how do the trends look now? How do the trends look after 8 more games in which you've lost 7 of those, 15 of 16 overall, when the defense has worsened in those games? The Grizzlies, particularly in the second half, are putting up insanely horrendous numbers. They're allowing teams to shoot 51% in the second half of games since J.B. Bickerstaff took over. And that's crazy. They've got a net rating of minus 19 points per 100 possessions in second halves of games, by far the worst in the NBA over that stretch. So don't give me Fizdale. I've seen some folks try to trot out stuff about the roster and about how Fizdale was responsible for this, that, and the other. Come on, man. Can we be honest here? Do you think the 43-year-old second-year coach, the lowest-paid coach in the NBA, is really the guy that's making those calls? You think it's possible that maybe the organization that has gotten many, many personnel decisions wrong over the last decade might have had something to do with that? You think if the roster is problematic, do you think the coach is the problem or the GM? There are, for whatever reason, there seems to be this pushback, and I don't get it. It's pretty clear that there were many problems. There are many problems with this team, with the organization. There's instability at the very top. There's all kinds of things. It takes a village. By no means did David Fizdale do everything right. As I talked about, you know, I think that his role in, you know, trying to repair the relationship with Mark, he didn't handle that very well. And I think his exasperation, he let that get the best of him and did not handle it the right way. But that's a drop in the bucket compared to the stuff that's happened year in and year out with this team and the fact that they now sit without any sort of identity with a roster full of mismatched pieces, guys that don't play together, that don't play smart. You'll hear Marc Gasol coming up momentarily talk about that and about how, you know, these guys aren't even doing what he calls the ABCs of team basketball. They're not even doing that, and he says it gets very frustrating. But Marc has to take responsibility too. He was largely uninterested in proceedings tonight. Even in the first half, you know, defensively, he was not especially active. He did not, in my mind, play especially well. And in the second half, I thought it got worse, much worse. On the offensive side, you know, missed a lot of makeable shots, missed more free throws, was not, again, just the effort level. This stuff is ridiculous. It's ridiculous at this point. I mean, this is not a team, irrespective of what you think, whose fault, whatever. This is not a team that should be losing 15 of 16. This is not a team that should go straight down the toilet when Mike Conley isn't on the floor. Mike Conley must be the MVP of the league based on this. Because if this is what it takes and the team just completely buckles without him, he must be the greatest player of all time. There's just not a lot of character right now. There's not a lot of stick-to-itiveness. And as J.B. Bickerstaff said after the game, they really need to look at themselves in the mirror.
To a man, you know, the responsibility that we have to our teammates, to the organization, to the fans, we didn't give the fans what they deserve tonight. We didn't give the organization what they deserve tonight. And we didn't give one another what we deserve. Guys from teammates, organization, fans sacrificed a lot for this, for one another. And we didn't pay that any respect tonight. We didn't give all that we could. It was disappointing, to say the least.
I'll say this for JB. I appreciate the fact that he's in a really tough spot. And I mean, I don't think it's not his fault that this is happening any more than it was, you know, all on David Fizdale or anything like that. Come on, man. So I think JB's doing the best he can in a tough spot. And I appreciate the fact that he is passionate about it. And it obviously he was very, very angry about what happened. And I respect that he's trying to walk the fine line of trying to keep those guys from completely going crazy and losing them entirely. So he can't just start laying waste to everybody. He's got to keep his position because he's interim and it's a tenuous kind of thing. But by the same token, he's also got to get across the fact that he's, you know, really pissed about the way things are going. I think he walked that line well, and I think he was very honest. I appreciate the comments that he made. Ultimately, I don't know what JB can do at this point because, you know, he's only got so much power. You know, Marc Gasol is, you know, has kind of taken more control I mean, that's just the way that it is right now. And you'll hear from Mark here in just a second. You can only expect so much from Marc Gasol. I mean, he's said a lot of stuff after each of these losses, after each of these games. He talked a couple weeks ago about how these are coachable things, and yet nothing has really changed a great deal. And I asked him about that, and I asked him about a lot of things, about the culture of the team, what they do now, all of that kind of stuff. I had a chance to talk to Mark in the locker room quite a bit, and he had some very interesting things to say. Take a listen.
I think we have to care about the other guys in the locker room, care about, what each and every one of us need to do to help the team. I think right now we always, looking for the excuse from another guy, what, the next guy should have done, why he didn't pass me the ball, why, I'm not getting more touches, why I'm not getting help. We're looking for excuses, and we got to find solutions somehow where, what do I need to do to help the team? That's going to give us consistency as far as defense goes. I think we gave up, 40 points in the fourth quarter. We always had a mindset here where you can have a tough night offensively, but we don't score, you don't score. It's not like, I didn't score, or somebody didn't score. I don't have to hustle back. I don't have the urgency. That's got to stop, because that leads us nowhere. And nobody can force you to do that but yourself. We need to figure out, as far as every player, nobody can force it into you. Just do your job defensively. And I guarantee you, I know for a fact, because we've been through similar situations, obviously not as bad, but when you play defense together, basketball has a way of taking care of you on the other end. You get the stops, you get the open court, the ball gets moved better, more proactive, communication, you guys see that you care about them, because they might have a mismatch, or you have to talk to them and call the coverage. So everybody, it's tied together. I don't see guys on a string. I see guys worrying too much about their own situation and their own dilemmas, and that's not something that you can build on, and it's at least not build a strong foundation like we're trying to build.
You had said a week or so ago that you felt some optimism that things could be changed, certain things were coachable and improvements, right, and we're kind of back to where you started. Is that optimism gone?
I think every day you have to kind of go back and reactivate it. Obviously, when you go through 14, 15 losses and one win, obviously, it's tough. It's not easy, but always take a lot of responsibility for our situation, what happens on the floor. I do get frustrated at times with some of the guys, because some of the things that happen out there to me are not excusable, or it should be the ABC of basketball, or at least of team basketball, or at least of what we're trying to do here. But obviously I gotta keep it, a positive mindset throughout the whole process, because if I give up and I don't do my job, I cannot ask for anybody else to do their job on the defensive end. So my mindset always is, do your job the best you can, communicate everything that is out there for them, make the game easier defensively, so they, they have more confidence on the schemes and on everyone else.
Do you recognize the culture that's here now? I mean, things changed that much when you talk about what used to be or what's happened? Has there been a culture change?
I think we haven't found our culture yet. Obviously, we try to, with the changes in the team and the personnel. You know, the new players, we as older guys and veterans here got to do a better job of showing them the way. And it's a struggle to not get frustrated sometimes because I'm not able to deliver the message as I would like to. There's times where, you know, it's a kind of tug war because you're trying not to lose control and not get too frustrated. But situations like tonight, it can be very frustrating.
Mark, do you think you've played well enough defensively?
Personally. At times, I think that I try to read and react. I try to communicate as much as I can. Some of the things that happen are hard to read for me. I take a lot of pride in knowing the other team's play, knowing their tendencies and what they're trying to accomplish with each, and try to be a step ahead. Obviously, when we're on our heels and we're playing from behind and I can honestly read what's in front of me, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not obviously the most athletic guy that I can just recover once the advantage is made and I can be a step ahead of the play. And I got to do a better job defensively too. We all in this together. It's not like I'm playing great defense and I can do it. No. I got to do a better job too. There's no hiding here.
I want to make sure that I gave Mark a chance to take responsibility, if he wanted to, for the defensive issues, because I do think he struggled defensively tonight. As I mentioned, I thought the effort level wasn't there, including Mark. I thought he dropped his head. He didn't play with enthusiasm. He didn't play with energy tonight. And that was passed along to the rest of the team. So it wasn't just them. And he sort of said that, but then he kind of made sure to point out that he's playing with guys that aren't the smartest dudes in the world. That's basically what he said. You know, that he's frustrated because things happen, the mistakes happen that he thinks are basic stuff, and they keep doing those things, and he doesn't really know how to prepare. He's very meticulous about stuff, and he doesn't know how to prepare for you know, what his teammates are going to do because they don't follow the instructions the way they're supposed to. That stuff, it happens, and he's extremely frustrated by that. So you could tell that's getting to him. He was, I'm not going to say he wasn't especially like down, and I mean, but he's mad, he's frustrated, and he's mad about how things have gone all the way around. Well, you know, he's got to take responsibility. There's nobody else left. Yeah, he's got to be the one to take a huge amount of responsibility for how this team is doing. You're the best player on this team, and thus far have been unable to do anything to stop a historically bad slide that this team is on. That's on Mark. He can't do everything, but he can do something. And right now, I'm not sure that he's part of the solution. If anything, I think he's more part of the problem than anything else. Tyreke Evans is kind of similar in that regard. I think he's part of the solution most of the time. Sometimes he's part of the problem as well. And I talked to Tyreke after the game, and he was pretty blunt about what he thinks the problem is with the team.
I don't know. I mean, just feel like we just laid down. I mean, we didn't play as aggressive as we could have played. Just our defense was bad this game. I mean, it helped when we didn't need it to. They knocked down open shots. When we one-on-one, guys get into the basket. Just they were doing whatever they want.
What's missing? Why does this keep happening in your mind?
I just think, you know, one, I think as a team, we don't know where we're at. We're just out there just playing game by game and just, you know, going with the flow. But every other team, you know, they have an identity, what they want to do. We just play, and whatever happens, happens.
So how do you develop an identity? I mean, you've seen some – you've been in some locker rooms where things didn't go particularly well, and you've seen, you know, the bad side of this stuff. How do you develop an identity and improve this process?
I don't know. It's going to take everybody that's playing to lock in and not be committed. You know, once we get that down, I think we can win games. But, you know, once some go bad, guys – power arguing with each other. shit can't win like that.
Yeah, see, I would agree totally with that take. This team does not have an identity. They don't have a culture. They don't have something that they can rely on. I talked to Eric Spoelstra, the Heat coach, before the game about Fizdale and about the situation, and he kind of made an interesting point. He said, you know, in talking to Fiz, that he thought that he would get time, this being Fizdale, would get time to institute the culture change that he wanted to, and he didn't. And that is true. He really didn't get a chance to institute too much of that before he was very quickly shown the door. That is part of the thing that he identified right out of the gate that he wanted to do was change the culture and create more accountability, create a team kind of like what they had in Miami. And it's not, you know, about the big three or anything like that. It's about just the way that they handle everything. There is a real accountability, team culture, all that stuff, character that is real. And we haven't really seen the Grizzlies do that stuff. They haven't had a cultural identity other than what was wrapped up in grit and grind. But grit and grind, as we've seen now, is gone completely. It's a fraud to say grit and grind associated with this team now. That's fraudulent. What they are now is nothing like what they were. Grit and grind left with Tony and Zach, and it's not coming back. The memories are great, but don't defile them by saying this team is grit and grind. They're not. They're nothing like grit and grind. It's a totally different thing. Let it go. Start something new, whatever that something new is. But right now, the Grizzlies don't have that identity. They don't have a team identity. You know, their identity, as always, is wrapped up in those players. And now those players are gone. They just don't have any identity. Period. It's why they've struggled to draft. It's why they've struggled to sign guys. It's why they've kind of veered back and forth, and they've been bailed out by, you know, really getting a core group together that was terrific and just hanging on, and they never really surrounded them with maximized talent because they never had a culture. And that's kind of what Tyreke is saying. Like, there's no identity for the team. They don't know who they are. And that's the hardest thing to build. That's why the Spurs can be what they are, because they're the Spurs. They have a Spurs identity. It's why a lot of these teams can be who they are. And, you know, building that is very, very difficult to do. That's what the Grizzlies are going to have to do. And in doing so, they're probably going to have to tear down this existing structure. And as I think you can all see at this point now, that is the thing that they need to do. I mean, the numbers are ugly. Obviously, 15 of 16 tells its own story. But even beyond that, the numbers for the players since JB jumped on, and then they're now 1-7, you know, Mario Chalmers is a minus 21 points per 100 possessions in those 8 games. Dylan Brooks is minus 17. Chandler Parsons is minus 16. Tyreke Evans is minus 15. You know, Marc Gasol minus 14. Jermichael Green minus 15. The big guns have really misfired, and the team has slowed down so much. In the second half, they play under 90 possessions per 48 minutes. That is glacial. Glacial. And it doesn't help because they don't defend especially well, so each possession really hits and hammers home even more. They struggle to catch up. They're not going to be able to play fast enough to catch up. Again, you're just delaying the inevitable here. At 8-19 now, 11 games under 500, it's hard to envision doing anything at this stage to get to the postseason. You know, in order to now get to 500, you've got to go 33-22 the rest of the way. Unlikely. And you have to better that mark to get, obviously, better. That's going to be very hard to do. 37-19. If you want to finish with 45 wins, 37-18, actually. I mean, that's 45 wins. Again, you're just getting, it's just getting silly. it's getting silly. That's a six, almost a 700 winning percentage the rest of the way. That's silly. So the decision is being made for you, and whether you tank, I mean, hell, they're doing a great job, like I said, now without even trying to. So whether you just do it like that, or whether you go a different direction, we'll talk more about it this week. But I think it's becoming crystal clear that that is the direction this season has to take, and it has to take in association with making some other changes too. I mean, they really need to figure that out, and it's going to be hard to, because you've got ownership questions at the very top. So, you know, who's even making those decisions long term? No one really can right now, because you're in a bit of a holding pattern waiting for this whole thing to shake out. It's a bit of a mess, and how much they can do while that ownership situation remains in flux, I don't know. Does it affect trading situations? Maybe. Does it affect any moves in the front office, all that stuff? I would certainly assume that that is the case. So where do you go from here? In the short term, it's going to get ugly. It's already gotten ugly. What am I talking about? It's probably going to get uglier. The Grizzlies go up to Washington tomorrow to play a pretty good Wizards team on the road. Back home Friday against Atlanta there's no game that they should win. But if you're ever going to have a should win, that's the one that you should at this point. And then Saturday against Boston, and Boston, while they are extremely good, they just got smoked yesterday by a very bad Bulls team. So perhaps vulnerable. I don't know. I don't know that the Grizzlies can beat anybody at this stage. So it doesn't matter. They've got to find a way to get some sort of a win, just something positive, because it is a brutal, disgusting, horrible atmosphere right now and surrounding the team. And it's, I wish I could say that it's going to get better, but it does not appear that it's going to get better anytime soon. So, wish I had more positive news for you. Unfortunately, I don't. Maybe later in the week, I will. Who knows? Thank you nonetheless for listening. Thank you for going through this with me. Thank you for helping, because we're all trying to help each other here. That's all we can do. I'm trying to help you as best I can. And you guys help me by listening and commenting and being part of the show, so I appreciate that too. Let me know what you think at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. I'm at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. You can follow me there. Also, send me an email, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. We'll talk tomorrow on Locked On Grizzlies.